он в апреше, for members, this is a continuation of our meeting. This is the first session before lunch, and now our final session. Members of the board together with their executives. You are most welcome. In the morning I was taken a surprise that there were other members of the board, and I'm not sure here, maybe there are more than one or two members of the board. Okay, I really appreciate the effort that is being made by board members to come to this briefing in the portfolio committee, especially for my benefit, because I'm new and other members are, some of them are new, but the very new one is this one that is talking. So I'm very pleased that you made an effort to come. I know that it's not an easy thing for a number of members, for board members, to come to Parliament because it talks to the cost of that traveling. But once for a while, it's very, really appreciated. I didn't expect this, and that's why I very much value your commitment to come and meet with us. I was just thinking that it might be two members of the board and then the executive. Thank you very much. I think we have met with the chair of the board and maybe some other members during the last Tuesday together with the minister. But just please remind me when you speak, remind me your name. We are too many last time, so I'll get used to it sometime, not now. But I can see the face that was there last week. Thank you very much. I'm handing over to you, Chairperson of the Board. You do as you wish. If you want to introduce your members, or you allow them, and members appreciate if they speak themselves and introduce themselves, and then you lead us on the, together with the executive, on the briefing. You make your introduction as the person over the introduction, and then the other members and the executive will get into the detail together with the CFO. Thank you very much. The CEO and the CFO. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honorable members. For the purpose of record, let me also reintroduce myself. My name is Bruni Benoveka. I am the chairperson of SAFCOP. With me on the part of the board members, I have Dr. Mashango.
Communication? Okay.
Yes. Dr. Mashango is part of the RMC committee of the board. Unfortunately, the chairperson could not make it, but at least we make sure that there's someone from that committee. And then I also have Mr. Rachidi, who is the chairperson of the Special Ethics as well as Telecom Committee.
Welcome.
I've got
the
tie on.
These are the members of the board, and there's Dr. Mnubwa now on her way, because she was coming to the meeting because it was starting at 4 o'clock, but now she's only landing at about, she said she's landing about 3, so she wanted to go to the meeting. And then the executive will introduce themselves, it started with the show.
Let's apologize to the other members of the board. I don't know where was the confusion. The meeting is ending at 4. It's ending at 4. It's 9:30. and it will end at 4 with the first NPC that was appearing, which was Dinan, in the morning, and then we break for lunch, and then after lunch with yourself. But let me, I don't know how to explain, let me just convey the apology, okay, the conclusion. Let's make sure that it doesn't end okay again. Thank you very much. Your PLO, your board, PLO, and the company must always try and get more clarification. If not, with the minister's office direct, you can, they can communicate directly with the committee officer to get the more clarification. So that what maybe Napambani Nati come on the meeting when we are saying that this is the end of the meeting. Okay, thank you.
Honorable Chairperson. Tebo Mulahe, the CEO of SACCO, and with me is the executive team, and after they introduce themselves.
Honorable members, my name is Zuhair Saleh, I am the acting CEO for SACCO.
Afternoon, Honorable Chair, and afternoon to the rest of the EU members. My name is Awa Akmate, I am responsible for strategy, innovation, as well as marketing for
SACCO. The CEO is too far from me because of the connection I can see. Too far from the chair. Of the board and myself, but it's fine.
No, someone will try the presentation chair.
Okay.
And then I'll come and sit that side.
Yeah,
to
next
sure
to your chairperson. Next to your chairperson. So that when he wants to whisper to you something.
This is the presentation of the SACCO Integrated Report 2016-2017. In terms of the format that we will follow, we will have the CEO who will present certain aspects of the starting with the overview of the company, so that the chairperson has included. She's new, so we must not assume that all people know what SACCO is about, what it is. So that's the process that's going to be followed around the world. We will have the respective representative members reporting on their specific area, and then I will do the conclusion. Thank you so much for your permission.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll start with the overview and touch on the enablers.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. And the overview will cover the mandate of the company, vision, mission, and core values, the group structure, strategic objectives and drivers, and where we do business. I think it's important to provide that information. Because last week we had that we are not visible, we are not known. So I think when we present where we do business, I think it will come clear.
It was just a second, one of your board members The light, I think we can't see properly, but yes, member.
We are hoping that we'll get introductions of the members of the committee.
Yeah, we're certainly going to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's always easy with the members. That's when you are done or they're about to ask questions to introduce themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the light on members. I hope you are going to summarize for your presentation there. Can you see?
I can see.
Yeah. But I hope you are going to summarize. Not, you are not going to go through the whole thing.
No, I will go.
Okay. Then if you jump pages because it's not clear that from the overhead screen, you just tell us the page.
Thank you, Chair. I'll go straight to the overview of the company. Maybe I should start with the structure which give the global overview. That subcall is 100% stable. And within the company, we have three subsidiaries, which are 100% owned by subcall. The operational one is Comatilent. The other one are not operational. And within Comatilent, we have a subsidiary that's located in Mozambique, which we own 80% of. That one supports to Comatilent, which is an operational subsidiary of SACO. And then continue on the overview. The company was established as a state-owned company in 1992 under the management of the State Forest Act. And as I said earlier, that the group comprises of the following, which is Comatilent, Diploma, which is based in Mozambique, Abacus and Gamtrabant, which are not operational. And as I said earlier, that KLF is the main operating business and the generator of the income. Would like in the future to expand rather than KLF and have Diploma as a standalone commercially viable business and have other subsidiaries come in. And SAPCO supplies the market with timber logs and process lumber. That's the core business. Those are the products that we have in the business. And going forward, we are looking at diversification beyond the logs and lumber, because this restricts us in terms of expansion. If we go to slide 6, if quickly, Chair, if you allow me to recommunicate the objects of the company. That the objects of the company are the development in the long term of the forest industry according to accepted commercial management practice. So whatever we do has to be commercially acceptable as we execute some of the mandates that we have, including the communities, support of the communities that we work in, including the social economic projects that we do. But we have to be commercially viable to be able to achieve that. If we are not commercially viable, we are not going to be able to support the communities where we do business. And the mandate is to conduct forest business, which includes timber harvesting, timber processing, and related activities around timber processing, both domestically and internationally. The market, local market, is under tremendous pressure. So if we are saying our strategy is to grow the business, we have to start looking beyond the borders to expand the business. Otherwise, we won't be able to expand from within. If we go to slide 7, which captures our vision and mission and the values, and the core values, We want to be a company that the country can be proud of, that we should be a competitor to be reckoned with globally. So our vision is to be a leader in integrated forestry products business, powering sustainable growth through partnership with communities. So communities where we do business are critical to us. And the mission is dedicated to growing our business in the forestry value chain and maximizing the stakeholder benefits. So it shouldn't just be us showing the income statement with profit and cash, but the entire value chain, all the stakeholders must be happy with what we deliver beyond the financial. The development of people, development of communities, all the projects that we do around where we do business. Driven by unwavering commitment to facilitate sustainable economic development of communities and wealth creation, those people that's where we do business, we should be able to go back to them and see them on their own, right, driving their own businesses and contributing to the economy and themselves creating wealth for themselves and their families. And our values that drive us on a daily basis, we are passionate about forests and communities. Which if you take the forests, there's no existence of SAFCO. If you take the communities, there's no existence of SAFCO. So those two coexist. We respect and value our employees and customers. SAFCO is highly dependent on people because of the type of business we are in. We have to come up with the research and development in the environment. We have to grow the trees, plant and grow them. We have to look after them to up to 30 years to ensure that they meet the standards. And we cannot achieve that without the people that make sure that they look after this asset, which we are responsible or we are tasked to look after. So the people are important. We conduct ourselves with honesty and integrity. That's without saying. We have to be able to, as we lead the business, everybody in the company should live according to the values. As we drive the business, we have to be innovative so that we are able to be a competitive company globally. We said earlier that we want to go into international, to compete internationally. We cannot compete internationally unless we are innovative in the way we do business. We can't do business the way we used to do it 15 years ago. Otherwise, we will not be able to be successful. If we could go over to slide 8, which are the strategic objectives, which are covered in the four pillars. One is that we have to grow the market, we have to grow the business. And growing the business talks about growing the business in terms of the top line, the business in terms of financials, the business in terms of the people. Are we growing the people that we have in the business? Are we growing the market so that we can compete better? And are we growing the product portfolio? We said earlier that we have log and lumber. We have to go beyond that. We have to go further down and be able to have value-added products that we can compete with on globally. And financial sustainability, we have to make sure, as we said earlier, we have to make sure that we are financially sustainable so that we can come back to the stakeholder and provide the support that that we are expected to provide in terms of creation of value for the stakeholder, in terms of creating better environments with the communities that we work in. If we are not sustainable commercially, we will not be able to achieve those that we want to achieve. And for us to be financially sustainable, we have to start with the operation, because that's where we make the money. If we don't have the trees, we won't be able to make the money. So operational excellence is critical for us to be able to achieve our objectives. And that starts with the trees from early age, research and development, grow them as we said, and make sure that as we harvest competitive products. And we deal, or we do business in communities where we are proudly participating in rural development. Because of the kind of stretch of land that we cover, that impacts on the communities where we do business. So rural development becomes a pillar of our strategy as an objective. And that will lead us to continue to be able to be a sustainable forestry business. And the tribes are aligned to the strategic objectives, financial sustainability, as we said. We have to be financially sustainable. Our operations have to be competitive and aligned with best practices globally. We have to develop and support the human capital or the people that we have so that they can produce the products that we want in the future, not only for today. For us to be a competitive business, we have to keep recreating ourselves innovatively, and we can't do that without the people that we have to steal. And business is not business unless we have customers. We may have the products, we may have the people, we may have a good strategy, but unless we have customers who are happy with the product that we put or we offer, we'll not have the business. So customers are close to our hearts, and we come from a time when not everybody was participating in the industry. We have a responsibility to ensure that we correct that through our transformation objectives, and that we are going to do. In terms of the businesses, that they must be transformed. In terms of the people themselves, that they must be transformed. We must be a transformed company. But everybody must be saying, that is our home, that is our company. Thank you. If quickly I can talk to you about where we operate. As we said, we don't operate, broadly, we operate where our products can grow well. And these areas include KZN, mostly part of Mpumalanga, part of Limpopo, and across the border in Mozambique, where the climate is good enough to support the products that we want to grow. So the slide 10 covers the areas which we said we don't do business in the suburbs or in the cities. We do business in the rural areas. That's why rural development becomes key to us in the support of the communities. And we said that we do business in those areas. We have 15 plantations in those areas, so that includes Mpumalanga and Limpopo, KZN. And revenue is mainly coming from the logs, and then a little bit from the lumber that you find in the retail shops. And as we said earlier, we have business in Mozambique. And the strategy behind acquiring that business was for expansion of the business. I'm happy to say we are getting to a point where we are going to successfully have that business being operational. For years, we are trying to make it work, and we didn't get it to work well as we had planned. But starting this coming financial year, the plan is that it should break even. That means the cost should be covered, should generate the revenue. At least we shouldn't be subsidizing that business. And beyond this coming financial year, we should be able to realize profits from that business because there's huge potential. And the area that we, the combined area that we manage or are responsible for, it's 272,000 hectares. That is across South Africa and Mozambique. And we have the Africa strategy that says beyond Mozambique, where there's opportunities for business, we are going to go. But obviously we'll have to do a thorough analysis to calculate the risk that will come with that. And then slide 11 shows the same information but more on the in the form of a map. That shows you the location of the Ifloma, which is the Mozambican part, which we call Ifloma 1, which is more north northwestern and southeastern. We have the Ifloma 2, which are separate companies at the current moment. And we spoke about Limpopo, that we have a lot of business happening there. And if one may say what the kind of products that we focus on pine and eucalyptus mainly locally, and then gum when you cross the border. And that table below shows the plantations that we have that dominantly we have the most area covered in terms of our plantations. And a little bit, which is 82,000 hectares from Mozambique currently, which the total gets up to a total of 272. That is the plantations that we are responsible for. And if I can be allowed to move over to Subcall as an enabler, why should we be having Subcall apart from that? Creating business, commercial business, and supporting the communities. Why should we be having SACOL? SACOL is an enabler. There are four areas where we strongly participate to drive economic growth, to drive development of human capital of rural areas, expansion of the customers, and obviously we have a supply chain. We have suppliers who are highly dependent on Subcall viability. If Subcall fails, the suppliers are going to struggle. The success of Subcall is the success of the supplier, and obviously that will impact on the industry at large. I'll end there and allow my colleagues to take over the different sections.
Thank you very much. Are you allowing the CFO
will take the financial highlights.
Thank you to all three of you, Chair. I'll be very brief because I think everyone can see the details of the figures in front of them. So if we look at the revenue, Subcall recorded a revenue of R1 billion in the financial year under review. And then from a cost perspective, we managed to reduce our costs through prudent cost savings. Our costs were around R780 million in the previous financial year. And then from a profitability perspective, I'm now in slide 18 and moving directly. Company recorded a profit of R114 million, an improvement from the R33 million we lost in the previous financial year. And then on slide number 19 is a snapshot of our balance sheet. As you will be able to see, the balance sheet has remained stable, and there is considerable room in the balance sheet to finance capital expenditure programs. I think from outside the Subcall that we have to exercise prudent management of our liquidity to ensure that we are able to service the debt that we want to raise for our capital expenditure program. And then I move on to slide number 20. I think on slide number 20, the area I really want to highlight, because the lock volume, which was a significant contributor to our profits, were the highest we've had. But I think we should note that our lumber sales have been slowly declining over the last 5 years, which just talks to unfavorable market conditions. And then I'll hand over to our acting COO to quickly take us through the operational highlights.
Okay, thank you, Chair. We'll start at slide number 22. SAFCO subscribed to the Forest Stewards Council, that is FSC. They are overlooking our operation. It's a third party that comes and tells us how we're managing the asset. So we managed to maintain 100% FSC certified on our subsidiary KLF, and it's a good point to know that SAFCO is one of the first in Africa to be certified for 19 years. We managed for the first time in the financial year to be able to sell our eucalyptus logs, and the total was 23% above the previous year. And of critical importance is our temporary unplanted area, so we try to minimize that area as much as possible. So in the last financial year, we 2.4, so which that is one of our key indicators of the business. And then moving to the processing side, we have two internal processing units, the timber dollar and a custom cut operation. So our timber dollar is able to process from 70 to 130 cubic meters, and then custom cut, that's where we've outsourced and we are producing our highest in our logs there. Over and above that, we've got our research center that is in Sabi. It consists, I'm on page 24. Yeah, our research center is focusing mostly on silviculture practices, pests and disease, and genetic improvement and growth and yield modeling. And we are now moving more on the engineering space, so we're trying to get more further down the value chain. So we also have a nursery next to our research center that produces more than 10 million and one in diploma. So that is the summary of the operational highlights, and I will hand over to my colleague to take us through the human resource highlights.
Honorable Chair, my name again is Sibangaso and the surname is Moseko. I just took over this position now in January as the Oman Capital Executive. In the same vein, I will just try and summarize as quick as I can. If we go to page, let's start with page 26, Human Capital. As it stands on the reporting date, the sub-complement was sitting at 2,283. What do we do in the retention and development of employees and as well as talent space? We mentioned that we do have mentorship and coaching programs that are focusing mainly on developing women in forestry. We also have, SAFCOL has foresters. We have trained about 65 of them. And we also have 103 forestry processing leadership awarded. We also are engaging and actually active in apprentice training. We do also have learners and bursaries. Our bursaries is in three streams. We have bursaries for our permanent employees. We also have bursaries for the dependents of the employees. In addition, we have bursaries for just external applicants who would like to advance their development. In the training space, we also own a plethora training center. It's one of our farm lands where we basically just farm the skills for the organization. We are the feeder not only of SAFCOL there, but we also focus on communities in training and developing communities. We have joint ventures with communities. We have a proper forum where we engage with our communities. If we want to see what are we focusing on as SAFCOL, Chair and Honorable Members, it's on page page 28, and the main focus area are forestry technical training, learnership as mentioned, and we also have your ICT training, bursaries, and interns. And I will hand over to my colleague OR. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Members, and Honorable Chair. Just to indicate on the socio-economic development front, maybe just to emphasize something, Honorable Members. Where we actually, where SASO operates, the land thereof is almost 1% of our land, literally. That's where claims are taking place. And as a result, as you may have picked up from the CEO, it's important that we take care of our communities and we create a long-lasting and very sustainable partnership. And as a result, we have now formalized relationship by putting together 13 social contracts with the local communities. And the reason behind that is to have a formalized structure of engagement with them. And I think it's very critical because it is in those structures where we're able to identify what the needs of the communities are. We discuss with them any opportunities that may come within operations, where there are fire seasons, etc. And we normally have ad hoc meetings, but it's a formalized meetings once in a quarter within a year. And as a result, these contacts that we have with them are with the communities in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and KZN. The slide number 30 represents all of those social contacts, and it highlights as well the different district municipalities as well as the positions within which these communities are active. Maybe going to slide number 31, still as a continuation. There's a couple of things that we contribute, and maybe just to emphasize, SASCOL has a duty to role in terms of the forestry charter from a number of perspectives. One, within the supply development space, within the CSI, and the transformation in general. Now maybe just to highlight, largely within the CSI space, we are contributing a lot more into the schools by putting together the wireless internet. And maybe just to highlight, one of the pilot projects that we did was in KZN, where we did 4 schools, and obviously currently this year we've expanded on those schools, and largely those schools were in KZN, and right now we're now focusing a lot more in Mpumalanga, and we're going to be growing that base as well, obviously in combined budget that we have. Secondly, obviously going hand in hand with your wireless internet capabilities, they are computers that we distribute into various schools. In total, 20 have been across the different provinces, but largely in KZN. And maybe just to highlight, Chair, the forestry charter target indicates 1% of net profit after tax. But I think one of the highlights of SASCOL is that we are at least exceeding that and have spent 6.76% of our net profit after tax. And we're doing our utmost because in the future, our communities are likely to be some of our business partners. Maybe something worth mentioning is the number of programs that we have, but one of those is the fire awareness that we continue to do, because obviously that's one of the risky areas for our business. And added to that, we have got a few success stories regarding the manufacturing cooperatives. In fact, what we put in place is the kind of a transformation change where we would literally get or identify community members, put them into put them through a program. It's a leadership program where they are entitled to a stipend. They go through our training in various areas. From there, we then graduate them as well into the developing of a cooperative, which is a formalized structure, and then we then give them a lot more skills, especially technical skills, with the view that as they evolve, they'll be able to provide services as well to support. In fact, maybe to cite an example, one of the things that we're doing with one of those, for example, is that they are manufacturing desks, which as support, we would then go back and buy those from them, and then either distribute them into the different schools as part of our back-to-school campaign, and in any other events that would be helpful to the community. We've mentioned as well that the electrification of Ngome Primary School. And maybe just to highlight, we built quite a number of feedback frame structures. And this is, if you go to the second slide, which is slide number 32, you'll realize those are some of the infrastructures that we put in place. Maybe just to highlight just a few. Solobolo Early Childhood Development Center, which is in Giani in Limpopo, Freeland Primary School, this is in Mpumalanga, under Chief Nisi. We've got Marongwani Primary School, which is in Bushbuck Ridge. If you go to the next slide, which is slide number 33, it's a continuation of some of the infrastructure. In this slide, we're highlighting the ablution blocks as well as the boreholes. Obviously, because these are projects that are informed by the needs that are generally identified in our joint community forum. We've got Mujachi ECD Center. We've got Kutanishaba, which is in Tamin. From the borehole perspective, Kalimba, which is in Limpopo, as well as Tontu, which is in the area. And maybe just to wrap up, let me allow my colleagues to take over from the next slide.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much, executives.
Chairperson,
do you want to say?
Thank you, Chair. The acting CFO is also going to be dealing with the low light, and then we can perhaps go to questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, my chairperson. My slide 35. And I know I'm very quickly over the highlights, so now we're going to talk about the lowlights. I think the biggest lowlights for Softcall as a company is that in the financial year under review, there were three fatalities that were reported in the financial year. And
there were three
fatalities, a loss of three lives. Two of them were chainsaw operators and one logger operator. And in our presentation, we actually, on the right-hand side, we can talk to how we are addressing the fatalities. Predominantly, it was all human related, and so what we've done is we've increased the supervision and the proactive inspection criteria. There is an increased focus on safety awareness, safety management, and additional awareness campaigns. And then we've instituted strict application of consequence management. And this is done in collaboration with the union for non-compliance to the safety regulations and the procedures. And there is a plan to invest in increased mechanization in that particular area, and obviously we're trying to minimize impact on employees. The second low light that I want to address is the qualified audit opinion. The opinion was based on the completeness of the irregular expenditure register and the amounts disclosed in the financial statements. And there's many areas that we address in terms of that. I think some I'll go through in the next slide. But what we've done is we've updated our irregular expenditure register. We've developed a policy on irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. And we've also developed specific audit trackers that we've put in place, which we are tracking on a monthly basis. And these trackers are verified by our internal audit function. And also what our internal audit function will be doing is providing assurance on the irregular expenditure register that's currently being developed. And then next, low light, in terms of the shareholder contact, the reported achievements on socioeconomic transformation. The finding there was that these were not supported by appropriate audit evidence. What we've done with the Auditor General, we've had a workshop and we've defined technical indicator descriptors, which we both agree on, which is the measurement they're going to use now in the next audit, in this particular, in fact, for the whole shareholder context. And our subsequent reporting on the shareholder context does adhere to our technical indicator descriptors. I'm moving on to page 36. One of the findings by the Auditor General was that there were internal control deficiencies And these included the lack of policies and procedures to support the figures that were reported. And what we've done is we've prioritized quality management in the company. We've actually recently appointed a quality assurance resource. And like I mentioned before, the audit tracker is in place. And then from an ICT perspective, our ERP system, there were modules that were not unlocked, which we are now unlocking and updating our ERP to the current software. And we are developing policies and procedures in areas where they don't exist, and we are updating in areas where it's required. In terms of the supply chain management challenges, there was significant findings in the area, and I think it's largely attributable to the fact that the company moved from a decentralized supply chain management to centralizing supply chain management unit. And so there's teething problems obviously that are related to that. But how we've addressed these is we've now reviewed our supply chain management policy as well as our delegation of authority to align it to legislation in areas where it didn't, it wasn't aligned. And then we've capacitated the supply chain management department. I think the structure is now about 85% filled because there were new areas that were, the board had to approve that they've approved an appointment is due to take place before the end of the financial year. And then from a demand management perspective, this was an area that was previously, not elevated within the company. So it's now elevated, and there is a resource that's dedicated to demand management. As I speak to you now, we are in the process of developing our annual procurement plan that is due to the National Treasury on the 31st of March. So that's on track. And then on the deviation side, the business, there seemed to be a lack of understanding what constituted a deviation. And obviously this would lead to irregular expenditure in some instances. So what we've done is we've rolled out, in terms of the procurement staff, I wouldn't call it a program, but it's an awareness campaign of what deviations are. We've issued out directives to the business on what constitutes a deviation. We centralized the function to supply chain management, and then we've developed a deviation register that will go with that. In the contract management space, and this was also a finding by the Auditor General, what we've done now, we've manually prepared a contract register where we've put all our contracts on an Excel spreadsheet. The board has approved in the structure that we can appoint a contract manager that will manage our contracts on our behalf. And then in terms of the ERP system, we're also going to unlock the contract management module that's part of the implementation that's planned. The contract management register is being submitted to EXCO on a monthly basis for monitoring. The big committees have been appointed. That process has been regularized. The reason it's been brought up is because previously the big committee members were not appointed according to the right delegation, which then caused a finding and resulted in irregular expenditure. So we've corrected that area. We've appointed the committee in the manner that we should. And then obviously, because we are implementing so many new processes within the business, it goes without saying that we would have training across the business as well as to implement some change management. And then I'm going to move on to slide 37, and I'm going to ask my acting COO to assist me on these particular areas.
Thank you. I think our biggest one, it was in IFLOMA, the expansion of what we call IFLOMA 2, so means our planting targets there. What we have done to address it, we have started with the planting, and we are having enough budgets to address that, and we are engaging with sponsors to help with the expansion project at Diploma 2. And then the second one, it was mostly on our processing side, where we didn't have enough transport of the raw material to the mills. So currently, as we speak, the service provider has been appointed, and we've revised contract management deficiencies as per the CFO's presentation. And there were some few local interventions, including buying a truck and sourcing the raw material from closer plantations. So basically, under operation, those were the rollouts. And then I will hand over to OARC. He will check us through the strategy. Thank you.
Maybe just to highlight on the. Maybe just to highlight on the three strategic aspects in slide number 8. Firstly, Timbadola upgrade. Timbadola is one of our processing operations, which obviously contributes more or less about 20% or so. And as a result, there has been quite a number of delays regarding the implementation thereof. But I think what is positive now is that the board has ultimately approved the total upgrade of Timbadola. And the reason for that, obviously, is to look into increasing capacity, one, but two, to look as well into making sure that rate of recovery, three, operational excellence as well into that upgrade. And maybe just to indicate, there are plans currently in place to make sure that we finalize, or rather the feasibility study that would inform the approach on how we're going to be doing the upgrade. Bearing in mind, obviously, that when we do the upgrade, there has to be mitigating plans to be able to implement the social risks that are associated with the upgrade. Secondly, it's the study complex. That has been an area where there's been a bit of slow progress in them. But currently, just to highlight, is that the Mpumalanga provincial government has come up with a study technology pack. And as a result, we're trying to align our plans into the program that we're putting together. And maybe just to highlight as well regarding that, as much as we are trying now to explore different ways where we are now increasing our product range, such as poles, etc., we're now looking into how best we could take some of those and place them within the study complex, which obviously will be part of the study. But having said that as well, I think to close some of these up, it's only important as well to look at the uptake of some of the new products that we could be placing as well. Just in terms of the timber frame structure, there's quite a lot of opportunities, and even in that space, there has been slow progress. But the plans that are in place right now is really the fact that we've been able to go out into the market to see any other suppliers that are able to provide or assist us with the technical know-how of putting the timber frame structures. And as a result, we've identified some of the partners. And in fact, maybe just to indicate, we held a forestry industrialization conference in October. And part of that was to actually look at diverse stakeholders within the forestry itself, and not only that, to as well start resuscitating a lot of interest within that space. And some of the positive things that came from there was the fact that while we were able to identify a number of stakeholders, some of those stakeholders would be the ones that may hopefully help us with the timber frame structure. And as a result, because of that, now we've identified those and we're now engaging with them to see how best they could assist us to make sure that this particular item is taken care of. Thanks. Let me hand it over to my colleague.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Chair. There's, with regard to the shareholders' compact metrics, I don't know if it's fine with the members, because I noticed that there's some urgency getting the presentation done. We can either get people to quickly talk to it, or otherwise we can respond to the questions.
Thank you, Chair.
I'll get to
summarize for me.
Thank you.
Good night. benefit.
Thank you, Chair. I'm on page 40, which is a quick summary of the achievements in terms of the whole shareholder compact. So the shareholder compact has about four elements of strategic intent that we've contracted with the minister on, and then there's waiting that are linked to that. So in the area of financial and commercial sustainability, in the 16-17 financial year, SAFCO achieved 26.25% in that area. In the area of sustainable forest management and expansion, SAFCO achieved 8.18% in that particular area. In the area of strategy implementation, SAFCO achieved 2.5%. And then in the area of socio-economic development, SAFCO achieved 17.78%, resulting in a 4.7% achievement on the overall shareholder contract. And I'm not sure if Chairperson wants me to go through the areas of significant non-achievement.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you when I start.
All right, Chairperson. In the area of sustainable forest management and expansion, SAFCO didn't achieve all the targets in that particular area, in particular as it relates to Mozambique establishment in terms of the planting of the forestry area, and then as well as in the area of timber processing, both for timber dollar as well as the custom tax. And then, as I have mentioned earlier, our fatalities index, we had three fatalities, obviously the target building is at zero. And then in the area of strategy implementation, I think our executive strategy, innovation and marketing has taken us through in terms of the timber dollar upgrade, the study complex, timber frame structures. In IGZOMA, I think our ex-CEO has taken us through that. In terms of the BBBE element, where we haven't achieved yet is in the area of training spend, where we've achieved 5.46 instead of 6%. And then in the area of senior managers, we didn't achieve our targets, as well as in the area of middle management, we didn't achieve some of our targets too. Employment equity in terms of job creation linked to employment of black employees with disabilities, we didn't actually meet the target that was set there. And then in terms of the total procurement spend, we didn't achieve our target spend of 802 million. Chair, I think that brings us to the end of the shareholder contact discussion. And then I'll hand over to Chairperson to give concluding remarks.
Thank you. I think it's important for the committee members to understand the evolving diversification of the subcon business, which in fact at some stage was only focused on planting trees. But in fact, as it was indicated before, in terms of the mandate, in terms of the act, subcon is supposed to lead the country, not subcon, on the industrialization of forestry, which is why we organized the forestry industrialization conference last year. Now, that role is not only about the introduction or the business, but it's also about the transformation of the industry, because it's totally untransformed. And then, of course, we have challenges, and some of those challenges relate to how Safcon has been run in the past. As you notice, one of the non-achievements is regarding IFLOMA. IFLOMA was meant to be two entities, but for years it has been run as one, which cost the company a lot of money, which end up leading to it being under care and maintenance, which is basically the process that we are trying to reverse as the current board. And lastly, Honorable Chairperson, Safcon as a key state institution, particularly with regard to forests, and also looking at the challenges for land claims in South Africa, we are looking at expanding Safcon operations not only in Mozambique, but to other parts of the continent, so that Safcon will be one of those exports. Because at the moment, when you look at the report of the UN FAO, practically the rest of the continent combined has less plantations than South Africa as a country has. While South Africa as a country only has 1% of the land area of South Africa, which means it's very small, but there's this big opportunity that we have as a South Africa through Safcon. That's the second honorable chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. At this stage, I'd like to indicate that there are two members that were with us in the morning session that have apologized, going to another engagement. Honorable Singh is attending a WIST meeting at the Chief Swiss boardroom, and if they conclude early enough, we will come back and join us. Honorable Godan has an engagement that he had to attend to this afternoon. Those were the members that they indicated they won't be able to. Having said that, I take that they are board members. It's not the first time that you are interacting with the members of this portfolio committee, and you know them. But I don't mind to request them. I will identify them. When they speak, they can introduce themselves. So, members, now I'm ready to note your hands. Honorable Sergeant, Honorable Mara, Honorable Luyeng, with your hand was up there. Honorable Luyeng, and Honorable Rantum. In that order.
Chair, thanks very much. I welcome the presentation, Chairman. The first one is just to clarify one discrepancy here. It was from the other document, like you are unqualified, the presentation says you are qualified. There is one other document from the research unit.
Yeah, it's our research. You have to look at that.
Yeah,
and then amend that.
Okay.
It's ours.
Okay.
Research
okay.
One is ours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There are quite a number of issues that I would like to be clarified on, Chen. I think let me commend the company, especially in the area of social economic development. You are doing quite well. That's my assessment, and I'm happy now with the breakdown. As politicians, in the course of our doing our constituency work, we want to know what this project is. So at least from the presentation that you've been giving us, as we move around, we know where some colleagues may be coming. I think that's very good for us. But I don't want to overemphasize the issue of communication. It's one issue that we raised in LA from the communication strategy point of view. for people to know the entity, only when there are bad things in it. So others were able to see the good things that we're doing. The loss of 125.5 million as compared to 14.7 million from the previous year is a concern. I picked it up from one of the documents. I don't know whether it's from, perhaps you might want to clarify that one. Because I'm raising this thing from the presentation you spoke about the 5-year trend achievement with a profit of 114 million from 43 million. But there's another document talking about another thing. You might have to clarify that. Yeah, but as I've indicated, I think I'm from the presentation, it's very big that over a 5-year period, there has been a very big achievement in that regard, because the profit moved from 43 million to 114 million. I'm covered really by the fact that where there's been fraud and corruption loss and 41.8 million, at least something is being done to address some of these things. The other document says you have reported these matters to the NPA and the South African Police. I think that's good. Because we can't just continue to lament about this. At least something must happen from the consequence management point of view if something wrong happens in the company. Page 35, just for correction, because I'm from Bembe District, just to clarify that the particular aspect, the Tulamera and Makado are not district, they are local municipalities. People class them to understand the district is when case date is up. Case date is
the district is when
the district is when. So
Makado, you mentioned are under Vembe district.
So Makado, Tulamela, those are local in the Vembe district. In the Vembe district. The second last one is with regard to from the shareholder point of view, the issues that you said you are going to achieve in terms of your targets versus your action. My worry is it's difficult to pick up the deficiencies, what led to that kind of a situation where we did not deliver as expected by the shareholders. So it might be important going forward for you to indicate that in this area we did not achieve as per the target, and this is what led to the to us not achieving that particular target. So I can't find it here as I go through the presentation. The last one here is you will remember I think we have raised it in quite a number of iterations that. It's always good every time when you come, you give us progress in terms of the issues that you raised in the past, so that we know the progress that we have been made with regard to the issues that we have raised, so that we must then be able to assist each other, because we don't just raise these issues, we raise them because we want them to be attended. So it might be important. When you come back next time, let there be a slide which says in the previous engagement, these are the issues that the voting committee raised. This is how far we've moved with regard to these issues. And with regard to those that you did not necessarily attempt, this way.
Thank you. Another
from
member.
Clearly,
the I'm calling their name as way of reminding you their names.
Thank you.
Honorable Mare, it's your turn.
Thank you, Chair. I will be short and sweet. I'll just
meet
the CEO and highlight as an executive summary on the Idloma in Mozambique, because we sit here for years and every time there was always this huge problems, either with management or the person in charge there or the relationship with the with Mozambique. So if you can just get a highlight executive summary on what is the situation with that now in Mozambique, then I must say it's good news to see the revenue is getting up due to ad hoc sales. That's a very much positive. That's what we need of any SOC, that we can see there's an increase in revenue and it is worthwhile to have the SOC on board. And then I see they do boreholes, but why don't they do in the Western Cape boreholes? We need water. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Murray. Honorable Leia, Luyenge,
In appreciating the report, I would want to indicate, Chairperson, that the current situation in this entity is very promising. Promising in the sense that we need to, at our level, do our best to ensure that we give credit where it is due, so that we can be clearly understood when we are curious, when people are not coming our way. Safe to say the intervention also by the shareholder, there is a clear indication that everyone is serious about the mandate within which this department must achieve its goals. One of the important aspects, Chair, we are talking about forestry. Forestry is one of the natural resources at the disposal of the previously marginalized. And in the majority of instances, it has been run and beneficial to those powers that used to be. So the board has a very clear that of transforming forest, make it benefit to the poor because it belongs to the poor. Maybe from the CFO, is there any mechanism that can be employed that those leases that were made by the Merenskis of this world, who are owning everything that is looking like a forest, taken from the poor communities and those traditional leaders, and they benefit nothing. Is there anything that can be done legally in order to ensure that these forests, they go back to where they belong? You should be managing much more an important resource like this one if it has not been abused in the manner it has been. Then secondly, the issue of assets at the disposal of our subcourt and her policies. That there should be a clear asset management and policies and the disposal of such, because it is important most of that you are also trading elsewhere other than in the country. So we need to ensure that your assets are managed in a manner that is beneficial to the organization. Lastly, Chairperson, on the issues that relate to the staff establishment and the organogram of the entity, there must be a clear staff establishment and the organogram that will look into the structural arrangement that will actually be manageable and also speak to the available resources and the profits that are being by the end.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lianghe, Honorable Vanzo, your chairman.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I don't think I've got questions, but I've just got concerns that I would wish for to raise the company of court. I thought by now, because of our engagement, we've been engaging for a long time, I thought by now we would be able to hear you that say, of course, you once said to us there was an Indaba or a summit or whatever what was in Deva, that was in Deva. Departments were there that you can work with, but they mentioned all the forestry companies except your company. I thought by now there will be a sense of influencing government from SAFCOL in making SAFCOL to be known. I'm not sure, maybe the period is still too young, if I might call it that way. The company is not supposed to be known by government officials or government itself, supposed to be known by people. It should be a people's company. And you are talking about expanding externally or outside South Africa. Is there no potential in South Africa for expansion? Because I have not been going around in this term, but during my term in the NCOP, we were going around provinces. And you could see that there are provinces who have got a huge land with trees. Maybe it is not within the interest of the company to use those trees. Maybe they are not in the interest of the company. But I think as you are going around, you should be engaging with municipalities in other provinces so that they see the need of timber in economic development of their area. The need, it will translate to the Department of Education if you can revive or you can instigate or you can influence the department or the local government to make it known that it's not about being a teacher only and you say a lot, the area has a lot of teachers, so the economy of that area is growing. It's also about industrializing an area. I think you are really too quiet on that. You know when you SAFCOL was saying SAFCOL is intending to expand, have a plan maybe of a project that is Mozambique. You know, we have been asking questions under this plan or under the operation of Mozambique. You were responding to us, but we're not really satisfied. We are just accepting your response because we have never been in Mozambique and see. But I would wish to have a clear plan that can be presented to us around the operations of Mozambique and the expansion thereafter going to other countries. That just a presentation, a small presentation on how that would happen. Because I know Transnet had a interrelations with other continents, the intercontinental relations that they worked on, and they had a good program that they are working on, which I think SAFCOL is part of us, part of public enterprises. The integration that has been made by Transnet could be as good as is good, so the SAFCOL company could interlink its program with its with the entity that can work better for them, especially on issues of transporting your products to other African countries. If you've got a lot of products that you think can be sold to other African countries, speak to Transnet on expanding the rail, whatever you call, going to the countries that you think can have an impact in the growing of your product. The other thing that makes me to worry, you know, we've got so many fatalities and we have so many ample fatalities, especially in the 900 of Beatrice. It was almost a disaster. This company is a small company. It's operating in two provinces, actually. Three, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and KZN, yes. We should have had more monitoring eyes or monitoring strategy, so that we don't. I'm thinking of the families of the people that have lost their lives. That can impact bad on government in saying, you see, when anything involves government, people see business. Even my family, if I can be careless and be overrun by a car in the middle of here in Parliament Street, my family would see money from government because they would ask all sorts of questions. But is there a sort of a counseling or whatever that has happened to the families of the deceased? The upgrading of the irregular expenditure that you want to address, do you know what I'm looking for? Because you say you had a qualified audit opinion that was based on incompleteness of irregular expenditure disclosed in the financial statement. Incompleteness of irregular expenditure, which I think I'm just a member of parliament. I have never been in the financial whatever. If it says incompleteness of irregular expenditure, to me it sounds as if there's somebody who was hiding information. Because it was not incomplete, maybe purposely. If you want to upgrade it, do you know what are you looking for? Do you have plans? Do you have a strategy thereof? There was something that I came across here, and I just the claims. We've been talking about claims, and I think are the claims complete now? Have you completed the claims of that were coming from the communities around the where you are operating? I think in you giving the response on the issue, you have said Mozambique, the strategy that maybe you have for the operations in Mozambique, if there are any achievements that you think they are there to share, you don't share them with us only. You share them for the world, or for the country, or for the continent, to see that your business is effective. I think that would be good. The last question. Is it possible that you can give us I came in late, maybe this has been down, the breakdown of your workforce by demographic and categories of work? I think that would be my last question. But Chair, I just want to commend the entity, because there is a passion that is being shown by the executive and the executive and the board members. I think we need to interact more so that we are able to share information, and also us as members, especially in this Committee of Public Enterprises, people seem to be afraid of us now because of the other operations that we are doing. I think if we can be more interactive and be able to boost the morale, and also to commend every now and again the work that the entity is doing. And we are members of parliament, we've got constituencies. Subcon should be, it is known in my constituency, but it does not really have a clear picture of what is happening. I tried to say, Subcon uti unemithi engachi, but there is nowhere that I can say I've seen this happening. I think we need to interact more in this capacity as members of parliament and with Subcon as a company. Thing is, they have to just to come and report when there are things that are not going all right. We'll take you to the inquiry. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for those questions. Thank you, Honorable Ransom. The other members have welcomed, and I'm joining them, your good and informative presentation, especially the details for the new member like myself. I just want to make I appreciate that I hear members saying that from where you were, you've done an improvement, and keep up that good work. But having said that, I just want to say that we observe that all your shareholders' agreement or you haven't met most of your targets, although we're able to make above 50, I can't remember, 54%, 54%, but there are a number of areas where you are below 50%. That really is not acceptable. So we need to focus on those areas and then improve on those. On quarterly engagement with us, we are going to monitor those targets in terms of your spending versus the outcome of those targets, whether are you moving and you are able to realize, because your targets must move from quarter one. Because if they don't move from quarter one, quarter two, you won't be able to realize the target when you start moving at quarter three and quarter four. That's how it works. So if you must just try and move the target from the very same quarter one, the first quarter of your financial year, then you are able to realize your goal. And the other part is where you have talked about you're trying to come up with the research for saying our people to look after our assets. So I would always like to work with timelines. Whenever you have a plan, you must give us a timeline, realistic timeline, because we'll hold you to that. If the timeline is for a quarter, timeline is for 6 months, timeline is for 1 year, it can be 18 months, 24 months, but give us that realistic timeline. So we'd like to, next time we'd like to get the timeline on that. Coming to rural development, I'm not sure whether it's a capacity that you don't have footprints in one of the rural areas of our country, which is Eastern Cape. Maybe it is a capacity in terms of and personnel is fine, but on your future plan, at least I know Northwest and Free State, there are farms, lots of farms, but they will say rural is rural, but really your Eastern Cape, I'm not sure whether it's going to be fed by KZN, but in relation to internship, I do recall that on Tuesday you indicated that some of the applicants are from Eastern Cape, which you take them into consideration, but in reality your actual operation, you might not have an answer now, it's just a comment that something that as a home that you could look at depending on the availability of resources. The on your human resource highlights, you mentioned all the interest groups except the people with disabilities. Government, we say that, but for now they always want us to refer to as disabled people, but I know we are using the government terminology. People with disabilities, they are not being highlighted. I know it's a dangerous, your work is a dangerous one, but you might find a work even if two is just one person. It can't be just nothing on your employee. On your addressing low light, slide 35, where you talk about the qualified audit opinion based on the incompetencies of regular, or firstly, let me get into the three fatal deaths. One death is too many. We must really try and do our best to make sure that we promote the health and safety education program and we hold our employees accountable in implementing that. In fact, the health and safety inspectors from the Department of Labor, they should be visiting you often to make sure that they do adhere to those safety measures. That's an unforeseen situation. So rest in peace, but we should really try and be mindful of those all the time. But where I was coming at now, the qualified audit, where you said you are currently developing a regular regular expenditure register, but interchanging, you said you are currently developing it. So I'm not sure which one is the one, but all I'm saying is that we would like to get a timeline. When is that going to be completed? This one is quite urgent. The timeline must not be a long one. Not expecting a long timeline. Having said that, I think in most other areas we covered by other members, as Nami, I'm still very in grade one on this one. Honorable Sir, is something left us?
Yeah, just a second.
I
want to direct this one to the department, EDG. The reason why we have EDGs allocated to entities, that's my understanding, is for us as we come to this engagement, we get an analysis of the performance of the entity from the shareholder's point of view. That's my understanding. So we might not be ready now, but I think we must as well agree on a trend going forward. That every time, without necessarily adopting an attitude of a teacher reporting a student to the principal, but as to how then do we assist each other, the company, the ministry, the board, and parliament, how then do we complement each other to make sure that the company delivers in terms of the mandate as stipulated. So all I'm saying is that over and above this engagement, the department must from time to time come in and say from our shareholders' point of view, this is how we see the company. So I think we must adopt that kind of an approach, not necessarily today, but going forward, I think we need that kind of capabilities. Not necessarily you reporting them to us, but saying how do we complement it and all of us, parliament, yourself, and the company.
That's what Honorable said in the morning, or Honorable Yemi and our secretary. That's why earlier on in the morning I asked the DDG to introduce the entity, because the department must tell us, excuse me, I'm going to allow him at the end to make a certain comment in relation to what the members are saying. But having said that, there's one area that, because you are promoting the development of the communities and the youth in particular, young people, don't you think that if you can have some beneficiation in turning these trees and making furniture yourself, maybe open some division that you develop furniture in developing young people to become carpenters, especially in rural areas? For me, that is important, and you can venture into other products that you can use your production. But for me, in South Africa, if you notice, most of the furniture now comes from international countries. It's good that we do business with other countries, but local is lacking. That's what the only Africans I know. That way, thank you. So, because it's a township language, say Uganda, local, thank you. So, our furniture, the very solid wood furniture, is much stronger than what we are buying in furniture international. So if we could just venture to try. I know our local goods tend to be more expensive. That's the only challenge. I don't know why. Tends to be more expensive than the imported goods. Not only on furniture, in other areas as well. Maybe that needs to be some researchers and sciences to deal with those. What are the rationale of that causes us that even if the product you like it, we find a cheaper one that has been that comes from international suppliers than our own, because our own are too expensive for us to afford them. Lastly, I would like to introduce the member, because I was requested. The lady there in a gray blazer and a white or cream white shirt is the Honorable Nobanda. If you can just show your hand, Honorable Nobanda. Because it's not one of the board members requested an introduction of board members. So, welcome. Over to you, Chair, and then your other board members can come in, then your executive will follow with your CFO as the CEO as the last, and then after him, then the DG will come in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll deal with a few of the questions and comments, and then I will ask my colleagues to deal with the other area, because people know where they fit. Maybe starting with the last question, I like to start from the back when I respond to questions.
Wow.
Yes. On the question of beneficiation, in fact, SAFCO already has assisted in the establishment of a number of cooperatives that are currently not only manufacturing furniture, for the school furniture, that the school furniture that SAFCO donates to different schools from Limpopo to Eastern Cape is furniture that is manufactured by young people that have been trained by SAFCO, who are now into, we have graduated to enterprise development, so much that others have even started to tender for government tenders on their own. So that's where we are. But of course, that growth, that function, for instance, to the Eastern Cape, is something that needs to happen. But we initially thought that we would link that with the transfer of management of dark forest that SAFCO has been pursuing. And there has not, it doesn't seem like there has been sufficient progress. So much that the board, we have given management a deadline to say if we are not in a position to achieve a target, which is not long, but by the end of this month, if we are not seeing sufficient progress between DAC and SAFCO on those 160,000 hectares that include the Eastern Cape, then
okay.
The matter will have to be escalated so that we are in a position to get it moving better. That's But over and above that, the part of the drive for forestry industrialization is meant exactly to include young people. To see, in fact, as a country, we are just dealing with the tip of the iceberg of what forestry industry can do. And the Forestry Industrialization Conference in October open the eyes even of those who have been in the industry for over 30 years to say we have been undervaluing what we call forestry. And that process now, I'm sure the DG will also be in the position to talk on that. Because part of what we have then done with regards to making sure that Forestry Industrialization Conference is not just a talk show. We said there must be a forestry industrialization, national forestry industrialization task team that includes a number of departments and also includes private sector. That would also lead to the development of a cabinet memo, which will have the industry, forestry industry, declare a strategic industry, because the South Africa does not understand forestry at the moment. So we want to move as SAFCO to drive a process where the country understand forestry and its value so that it can play its role
in growing the economy. Yes. And that we are doing. So the involvement of the other departments, including DDI, DAF, and so on, is taking place there. And with regard to people with disabilities, there's a point that has been raised that there's no mention. Dimakaso is also going to talk on it. But part of what we have done as a board, we've given management up until the end of the financial year. That by the end of the financial year, we must have met all our targets regarding people with disabilities, because there is no reason why we should not meet them. You know, and that process, I understand, has started, where they have already started talking to the DSA, because they have all the resources, both in terms of both in terms of getting people to be employed who qualify for certain positions, as well as in terms of involvement of people with disabilities in the business, in terms of the procurement line. So all these things are being attended to, and we have to ensure that they are met come the end of this financial year. We should not be having the kind of report that we have on targets that are easily achievable. We have noted the need for the timeline in terms of things that we are talking about, and we will make sure that that happens come in the future. The interacting more with the committee. In fact, the committee made a promise to visit SAPCOL in the operation, and that was in October last year. And we waited, and that was cancelled. And we are still waiting. We will welcome you anytime. You can even choose where you really want to come.
Which part of the penalty?
The head office is in, the head office of SAPCOL is in Pretoria.
Okay.
The
operation center.
The major operation center is in the Sabi area in Mpumalanga.
Oh, okay.
But we also have offices in Mbombela in town.
And then you mentioned in the Mpumalanga, what are the number of areas?
Yes, we have plantations as well as we have the sawmill with timber jobs.
Okay, and did you say the case where?
In case the case is Ngome.
Where is it?
Nongoma.
Oh, okay. Thank
you. Thank you. So, in terms of the interaction, also the quarterly engagements that were raised in our previous meetings with the committee, we welcomed them. And of course, it's the committee that seemed to be very busy to be able to do that. On our part, we are always available when we say we must be available. The possible links with Transnet. Okay, let me start with the IFLOMA. What is the plan? IFLOMA, the plan, in fact, if you look at the Shoulders Compact, Shoulders Compact treats IFLOMA as one entity. But internally, IFLOMA is divided into two, as IFLOMA 1 and IFLOMA 2, which is IFLOMA 1 being the older one that the CEO indicated to be in the northwest. And then IFLOMA 2 is the newer of the project. But in fact, last year, 2017, June, we discovered that, in fact, IFLOMA 2 was meant to be an SPV, a special purpose vehicle, where SAPCOL is responsible for forestry management and the implementation of the project as experts in forestry, while other entities, including IDC, were supposed to come on board with the funding to roll out a fiber project that was supposed to have turnaround time of 10 years, which is something that somehow got lost between SAPCOL itself and DBE, because none of the two picked this up until this matter was we managed to pick it up from inside SAPCOL. So the process now is to get Ifloma 2 separator to be what it should be. And IBC has already been engaged. And DBSA was, had committed in 2011, as IBC had committed to take certain shareholding and put in certain money. But now when we went back to DBSA, DBSA said their mandate has changed. So, but IBC is still on board. But there's a business plan that is required that we're working towards to make sure that by the end of the financial year, that is in place so that we can actually get the entities that are interested to invest in the funding, which include Mozambique Development Bank. Because it was, that is how it was meant to be. So that is a correction. So if we may not appear to be performing with that part, because there was money that was being pumped in, was inside the money was supposed to be coming from this, the investors of this special purpose vehicle. So that is being revised, and the process to implement the what was originally approved in terms of a ministerial minute between South Africa and Mozambique, which is what we are returning to. And there has been interaction with the government of Mozambique to make sure that that is being implemented. So in terms of Ifloma 1, there's a lot of process. I think OR will be in a position to give more flesh on it. There's more process of implementing and making sure that Ifloma 1, that is the forest, whether the forest and the sawmill, is fully operational. We are no longer using the vocab of care and maintenance. So that process, the care maintenance is out of the vocabulary because we want the two to be up and running and be standing on their own and expand. This is because the success of the project of the Ifloma is, we have been told by the government of Mozambique through the interaction that what we do now with regard to Ifloma will determine if we are given more land. You know, because Mozambique has about 2 million hectares that are available for forestry expansion, which is almost two times what we have in South Africa as forestry. So how we perform determines what we get. So we are seriously working on that. I think OR as well as the CEO will be in a position to give more flesh on. There are plans. There are operational plans, but those operational plans now have to take into consideration the business plan that is required to bring in the investors for the SPV for Ifloma 2. The possible engagement with the municipalities, I think this question was raised broadly as including the government. As some call, unfortunately, there are protocols that we have to follow. You know? As some call, we have requested the shareholder to assist us with procuring meetings with certain government departments that we saw as strategic for the purposes of the implementation of our program that includes human settlement as well as basic education, because they build a lot of schools. And of course, we're still waiting for the shareholder to give feedback on that. The engagements with the municipalities, in fact, there has been an engagement that arose out of the forestry industrialization conference from one of the municipal development agencies in KZN. So there's a process that is starting to bear fruit there as well. But of course, more can be done. And perhaps part of our interaction with government at the moment, broadly, is the fact that SAFCOL has been invited to be part of the committee of experts in the presidential BE advisory council that is organizing a summit on township and rural economy, which is taking place next month, 8 to the 10th of March in Tata. So we are being fully engaged whenever we get the opportunity. No, so that we can make sure that nobody forgets about SAFCOL again.
So we are moving to make sure that that happens. And how SACCOL influence government to make SACCOL known? Because this forestry industrialization testing is meant to be the key, because SACCOL is to be the driver of forestry industrialization, which goes beyond just SACCOL, to include whoever else is available in the industry, as well as to include government departments. In fact, we have already started a very positive and fast-moving relationship with the government of Mpumalanga. Amongst other things, we are looking at core projects managing the Sabi Technopark that is meant to be the center for forestry industrialization in Mpumalanga. And that is moving with speed. On the SACCOL having a clear role of transforming in favor of the poor, in fact, this is what SACCOL is doing. And now, in addition to whatever SACCOL has been doing, we are not only looking at the CSI and enterprise development, but we are looking at broader, particularly motivated by the new regulation that on preferred procurement, effective from the 1st of April. So there's a process not only to implement, which SACCOL has already started to implement, but a process where there are standard operating procedures in terms of how to make sure that it doesn't get to be a situation where people don't know where the beneficiaries come from. So the whole process needs to be thoroughly informed, and it needs to be national, so that the people from the Eastern Cape, people from the Western Cape, and wherever else who can participate in SACCOL very chain must be able to do that. Okay, I think let me start from Dr. Matam, if there's any input you want to give, and then moving that way, coming back to the chair with your permission.
Okay, let's do that in 15 minutes. I'm trying to continue.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I think the Chair has covered most of the issues that have been raised. I can just but say that for us, Honorable Chair, we really consider it our patriotic duty to do the best to make certain that the company realizes its objectives. One person once said that the trees are the lungs of this nation, and we are serious about it. And I also want Chair to note your concern about and your advice about timelines as our guiding principles. This we are going to adhere to. Thank you very much.
Other board members there? Would you like to say something first?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Your mind?
Both the chairperson and Dr. Matambu have covered almost the development of the ground that we have. The issue of disabilities or people with challenges. We have a target of 2%. At this stage, we are at 1.5. We are hoping that by the end of financial year, we might have most probably in the skill development area, the organization is putting together or in the process of putting together an academy out in Paris, which will be able to develop skills around trees and plantations, carpentry and all,
in this regard, with the research that has been undertaken, and we are hoping that in the next financial year, there will be much progress toward actually giving our young individuals into all the intricacies of our plantation and lumber and wood business. Chair, I wish we have a relationship with the department to an extent that we work together, and not as two little childs giving a stick all the time to the department, or from the department to the organization. The plantations that DAF has, as the chair has mentioned, the Eastern Cape, that means it's expanding us into another province. Fortunately for us is that there's a company called NGO out in the Western Cape that has plantations both in Western Cape, in the Mpopo, as well as in the Eastern Cape. And we had a relationship with them. It was actually taken away from South Cape. And that relationship still exists. And I'm sure in future will indicate what role we play in the kind of success and means that we're thinking from that area. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, board member. Executives, please sum up the responses. Proceed, the CFO, the CEO would be the last before the closing by the executive.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Maybe just to respond just to a few. I know most of my colleagues have indicated quite a number of things, but I'll just keep plugging them in. Regarding diploma, there were, I think, three questions that were in. But maybe just to highlight, what we're doing with diploma is that, yes, as per the chairperson's remarks, it's no longer under care maintenance. It is now operational. Maybe to highlight that there are four key focus areas that we're doing there, just to give the honorable members some comfort. From a governance perspective, yes, we have such a relationship with the Mozambican chair partner. Secondly, we facilitated as well the operations of the board to make sure that it's now functional. Thirdly, we are now looking into the structural arrangements just to make sure that from a reporting perspective, that relationship is fairly defined. But having said that, from an operations perspective, in terms of capacity, we are currently looking into making sure that there is, and we've already made the data appointment, where there is somebody who's fully responsible now for diploma. We're finalizing the issues of the delegation authority and all other necessary methods that would enable the person to be able to be functional. We've looked at as well high policy areas in terms of legislation. Where are the areas where support can be, careless can be punished? Things such as salaries of people, so we've adjusted those. We've employed quite a number of people to now start focusing on forest management services, which is really climate. And that's just a high level view. And maybe just lastly on diploma, we're now managing relationships with the communities because we do have communities that are within the plantation. And that dialogue has started where we're now engaging part of our sales to them as well. And we're putting in place contracts to make sure that they participate as well as participate. Now in terms of DAF, engagement with DAF has commenced last week, I think around October, with the executives. And we're hoping to be having subsequent discussions with them, starting from next week, Monday. And that is specifically to discuss issues of the category B and C plantations. And that is where major plantations such as those in Eastern Cape would have to come in as well to see how we can provide forest management services on those to move them from the state where they are to a much better state. Maybe just one last thing, one key thing as well as communication. Yes, we acknowledge that FACOL is not very much known. But I think it's important to highlight that FACOL is very much known with the community within which it operates, but under the TLF brand. So the idea is that we're now revitalizing the brand to make sure that all these subsidiaries are seen as one. And we take note of the fact that we need to be communicating more. But maybe to highlight the forestry Industrial Legislative Conference that Chair has spoken about was one of the steps to start elevating Sakwa as a brand so that it's known in a variety of stakeholders. The furniture manufacturing, I'm not going to say much, but other than to say that there are three in particular, and I suppose during your visit at Sakwa, if you're more than welcome to come through and see some of those furniture manufacturing cooperatives that we put together. They are now our suppliers because now we are officially buying from them. And maybe just one big thing is the issue of the land lease. A lot has been spoken about it, but I think later on we're probably going to be seeing a relationship that is much more solid. And the reason for that is the lease agreement that is being put in place. We're now reevaluating it to see if we can get into strategic partnership relationships, other than just a situation where Safcon is just purely giving money as a means of just lease or income. We don't want to do that. And maybe just in conclusion, disability. Yes, we have started engaging DPSA, an organization that deals with people with disabilities. Now we're looking at those from three perspectives. One, so that they can advise us from an employment perspective, and Dimakato may probably speak a lot more on it. But secondly, from a procurement perspective, and this is obviously the chief, the acting chief financial officer's area. But thirdly, our environment, how it's structured, how we can remodulate so that at least we can have a situation where it's environmentally friendly to be able to do it. And that's it.
COO, anything that you guys
can. Thank you, Chair. I think most of the issues have been responded to, but one specifically that I want to follow up is on the issues of fertility. I think we know the comment, and just to add on that, a lot of actions have been taken so far, and we have seen those actions bearing fruit. In this financial year, our accident has dropped, and so far we haven't had any fatalities. So the continuous focus on safety, I think so far it's bearing fruit.
Thank you.
Thank
you,
Mr.
Chair. I'm just going to respond to the questions on irregular expenditure. You had a question on the slide 35 where we talked about updating the irregular expenditure vis-a-vis developing. So there's two elements that we are looking at. So there is an irregular expenditure register that we are updating, but we are developing a policy on fruitless waste and irregular expenditure. And that policy, it will deal with the identification, investigation, and the condemnation process that relates to those three. And then to respond to Honorable Ranta's question, in terms of do we know what we are looking for? So the completeness issue came about wherein previous CFO got a service provider to populate or to compute an irregular expenditure register. And the scope provided to the service provider had a limitation in that it excluded all transactions that were below 100,000 rand. So obviously that already talks to a register that would not be complete, and that's where the finding comes from. By the time it was discovered, it was too late. We were already in the middle of an audit. In fact, we were actually concluding the audit, and the AGM was very close. So that's part of the, when we talk about the updating of the register, we are looking at all those transactions that were previously left out in the previous financial year. And then the question relating to asset management. Honorable Liang,
it's going to be recorded.
Okay.
Being recorded.
It's fine. Okay, so we've completed an asset register. We've updated the asset register. Currently, we haven't put our register in the ERP, but it is part of our plan to implement the ERP. Now, our project, we are looking at a 12-month project plan for ERP because we want to make sure that as we update or unlock or
get new licenses, that we don't lose any data that's currently on the system. There is a prioritization plan, and asset management is one of those areas. We have concluded, we've gone live on the supply chain management module for the ERP, because we felt that was the most urgent one and critical one, because that's where all the findings arose in terms of the orders. And then on asset management, we have a policy that we've drafted on asset disposal, which we are due to take to the board in the foreseeable future. I think those, the last one, just to clarify, Honorable Perry, I want to confirm it was a process of tender reporting.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. There's four issues that haven't been covered yet, which I will quickly go over them, go through them. One is some explanation on non-achievement of the target regarding the connection with the year at hand, that's 2016-2018. And those that were not achieved, or where didn't perform well, is sustainable forest management, and the other one is strategy implementation. On sustainable forest management, the three issues that we came short, or the key areas that we came short on, are the three, which is IFLOMA, that we failed to make IFLOMA a viable business. Secondly, the fatalities, the three people we lost, and the timber dollar operations that were not able to deliver the volumes that we have planned to. I think those we have covered IFLOMA extensively. What's remaining on IFLOMA is the question was, or the request was, we should provide an executive summary that details the situation of IFLOMA. I think that will prepare on the next presentation that to present. And timber dollar operations, we have recovered. Transport is there. What we are left with is to upgrade the mill as per plan. So that is going to happen. The fatalities, we have plans in place to ensure that we educate the people about safety, and there's consequence management in the event that people don't comply. And the other one is the transfer of privately owned forests, Transmarine and the like. I think that was the question. What are we doing about that? We are working on that to see how best we can. But as Chair and Ola were saying, we're first looking at DAF and see, we shouldn't take too much that we can't chew. Hand in the DAF and see whether we can get the DAF management over to Stafford, and then go to the privacy owned and see whether we can manage them better for the benefit of the broader population in South Africa, not for a selected few. That we are working on. And the other one is, can SAFCOL expand in South Africa? We want to, the question was, we want to expand globally, internationally, but aren't there opportunities locally where we can expand to? There are opportunities, we're exploring those. On the daily basis, we are engaging, and that's where we believe the growth of support is going to come from, both internally, locally, and internationally. And I think the last one that we haven't yet responded is the breakdown. The question was, we should provide the breakdown of the workforce in terms of age, the different categories. I must promise that we are going to have that presented in the next meeting in December. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, what I want to say is that we welcome that the quarterly presentation, the quarterly appearance before the portfolio committee. I feel a few years back we used to do that, come here and report on our APT performance, what we've been doing, so then we touch on the SOCs. that are important to us, so that can be regarded to the patients. Especially now that there's a lot more focus on impact and speed. The APP planning cycle this time around, DPMD, I must say, has been, and properly so, has been quite tough to say what is the impact, you know, who benefits from these activities that you're saying you're going to be doing. And for us, that's what becomes even more important with our SOCs, by the issue of the fact that they regard it as the agents of change or of economic development in our country. We need to get to a point where the ordinary people of our country benefit from these entities rather than those that are entrusted with what we're running in a day-to-day basis. The one area I can say on our side, we are pushing hard with subcontinental to the strategy implementation. Because there's particular projects that have been identified, we need those to be implemented. I've had this discussion with the chair at some point, and he was a year into his tenure, now 3 years coming to an end, chair. I said, the time flies very quickly.
5 years?
No, 3 years. So 3 years ago, as the time passes very fast, before you know it, the things that you said you're going to do, you're not getting the opportunity to do that. So we want to get to that. We want to see greater processing happening in the southern area. We need to look at the arrangements that they've been proposing to see what will be the impact of this. We want to see timber dollar happen. We want to see there's 100,000 hectares of forest plantations that have spoken about by DAF to the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. We want to see that particular project coming into being, because our people in those areas, they need the jobs. And most importantly, we want them to get involved in the more sophisticated parts of this forestry business. So, Chair, that's basically where we are. And maybe the last one, on the qualification, this was inevitable, Chair, as you just said. There's a lot of digging that this board has had to do. And obviously, it culminated in the qualification we had last year. In this year, Buyo is promised to be a clean audit. So the next time we sit here, we'll be communicating good news on that. But that's something that we follow very closely as well. The team that is led by Mikala on internal controls. So we, I can assure you, we have some very robust meetings with our colleagues with us, because we want them to succeed and we want them to make a difference. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Board members, my name is Lungi Mganga Sabash. Thank you very much, board members led by the chairperson, together with your executives, for this good meeting. And thank you from the department, led by the DPG and our guest, I can see that there is our guest that has been with us since morning till now. Thank you very much, honorable members. We've come to the end of the meeting. Nihambe Bash. Thank you.
Thank you.